Hey, there's a great passage that's in 1 Corinthians. Let me grab my Bible. I had to set my food down when we came into the song and all. You know, it's a little different with the eating night. But there's a great passage in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 that says this. Some of you are going to be familiar with it. And I'm not the one teaching tonight or encouraging you. Well, I'm going to encourage you with something. But just a quick reminder. But 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." But here's what I want you to catch. In the Message version, it actually says this. It says that the troubles that we go through now are small potatoes compared to what's to come. And that expression, small potatoes, came about back in like the mid-19th century to imply something that had no value or wasn't worth anything when we were more of an agricultural society. And if a farmer was growing potatoes and the potatoes were little, they just weren't worth much. So it became known to be associated with that. That means the troubles we go through in this life, they're like that. They're just small potatoes compared to the glory that God has in store for us. So as we ate potatoes tonight on this great loaded baked potato night, that passage sure did come to mind. But hey, there's a couple of other passages that are going to be shared with us this evening that will be an encouragement to you. Many of you remember Evangelist Randy Ruiz. He's been with us before, had a great time. He would have been with us in person in January with so many restrictions and all still going on. It just really didn't work for us in this season. But we've got an encouraging word from him that we're going to share now, just sharing from his home to encourage us this evening. So I want to encourage you to stay focused, catch this. I believe it's going to bless you. Amen.
Well, hi, everybody. Sorry, I had some technical difficulties. It wouldn't work on my laptop, so I grabbed my phone. Again, sorry, I had to get on my phone, so the phone isn't as, the picture isn't as nice, but I'm glad it's going to work out. Hey, get your Bible and turn to John chapter 15 and verse 15. John 15 and 15. John chapter 15, starting verse 15. Knowing God's will. Knowing God's will. The text says, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Hey, you know, we have all asked the question at one time or another, how can I know the will of God and how do I know the voice of God? So many of you have asked me in Instagram or on Facebook, private message, or even text the office here. So many have asked me, "Randy, does God still speak today?" That's probably one of the most common questions I get asked. Does God still speak today? And if he does, is he interested in me as an individual? And if he is interested in me as an individual, does he indeed have a master plan for my life? And then again, if he does have a master plan for my life, how do I discover it? How do I find out what it really is? Friends, there are things that we actually can do. And in 31 years of ministry, I have learned that there are things that we can do that will cause us to hear his voice more easily and give us a greater grasp on God's will more quickly in our life. Listen, gang, we are just not victims of chance, hoping that our luck won't run out. We do have a creator who has a special plan for each and every one of our lives. And just as God spoke to the men and women of the Bible, he wants to speak to you and he wants to speak to me. Of course, there are a lot of voices trying to be heard these days. There's the voice of our own conscience. And then there's the voice of our friends and our loved ones. And if you're married like I am, sometimes the voice of God can stand just like your wife. My wife is amazing. My wife's voice is awesome. And she's kept us on the straight and narrow. But yet, even though as wonderful as it is, her voice is not the voice of God. Well, there are voices of our friends and loved ones. And then there's the voice of the devil. And of course, there's the voice of God. Learning to know which voice is which is very, very important. And in our text, we read that God actually has a plan and God wants to speak to us. God said that we can know his will and his way. And he said this in Genesis 18 and 17 and Isaiah 30 and 21. When you get a chance, I want you to read Genesis 18 and 17 and then read Isaiah 30 and 21. Now, in the text that we just read, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Again, not to be repetitive, guys, but God wants to speak to you and guide you. But perhaps it seems like there is just an icy silence from heaven when you ask for direction in your life. So you're saying, okay, Randy, it's real quiet in heaven. I haven't heard any direction. How do I know the will of God? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, because we find some prerequisites for God's promises and God's guidance in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. The Apostle Paul said, "I beseech you," in other words, I really want to tell you, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, this scripture contains what we call a conditional promise. And it's a great promise from God. The promise is that you can know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then Paul lays out the prerequisites to knowing the will of God. If you don't know what a prerequisite is, it's kind of like when you go to college and in your freshman year, they lay out the plan for your degree. And they tell you, if you want to reach this goal in 4 years, for some 6 years, I don't know. But if you want to reach this goal in 4 years, then you must take these classes as a prerequisite. And then you can reach your goal. Well, Paul lays out the conditions on how to know the will of God. And he says, these are the prerequisites to knowing the will of God. First, you must present yourself to him a living sacrifice. Second, you must not be conformed to this world. And then third, you must be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice the order. It doesn't say you can know God's will and then decide whether you want to follow God's will or not. No, it says first you surrender to him, you give your life to him. Now that simply means as a Christian, you live your life to honor God and honor his word. You put God's word first in your life, and that's how you live your life. In other words, you live with a biblical worldview, not a political worldview and not a secular worldview. But what does the Bible say? Not what does man say? And so it simply means as a Christian, you live your life to honor God's word. Now that is your part. And then when you do your part, God can do his part. Second, it says, we learn what we need to stop doing. If you really want to hear the will of God in your life or know the will of God and hear the voice of God, well then don't be conformed to this world. You see, the word conform that Paul uses refers to the act of assuming an outward appearance that does not accurately reflect what's on the inside. Here it again. The actual Greek word that Paul uses is for the word conform is to refers to the act of assuming an outward appearance that does not accurately reflect what's on the inside. In other words, Paul is saying, hey, don't masquerade around and pretend that you belong to the world. In other words, he's saying, don't act one way on the job, don't act one way at school, don't act one way when you're away from church, and completely another way when you're in church or at home. Because so much of the world's thinking can cloud our reason as to the will of God. It's kind of like, guys, what we're seeing today on the news. You watch Fox and you hear one opinion, and you listen to CNN or MSNBC or all the other fake news and you hear another opinion, and you can get very, very confused about what is the truth. And that's what God is saying. Don't masquerade around Monday through Saturday acting one way and then Sunday act another way. No, how you live your life Monday through Saturday matters. And there's so many things that can cloud your thinking if you're trying to find the will of God. No, you have to live your life to honor God's word all the time. Honoring God's word simply means I block out all the other things and I allow God to renew my mind. Because so many of the world's thinking can cloud our reasoning and can cause us to not know God's will. The third point, he says, is we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This could be translated to experience a metamorphosis. Kind of like that movie Cocoon, you know, when those old people jump into that pool in that hothouse or that greenhouse, and they're just transformed back to younger ages. Even though the outside of their body is the same, they got all this new life and they're regenerated. That's what it means to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. To be literally come into a metamorphosis. We need to go through a process to have our minds renewed. Or you just think, okay, Randy, how in the world do I renew my mind? Well, you renew your mind and transform your mind when you spend time reading and listening to God's Word. The more time you spend in God's Word, the more time it cleanses your mind of all the garbage. And the more time you spend really studying His Word, then it cleanses you of all the garbage. Our minds are going to be renewed when we spend time with Jesus and when we read God's Word and we get it deep in our heart. When we saturate our lives and our thoughts with the Word of God, then and only then will we know the will of God for our life. For instance, David said in Psalms 119 and 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I love that. And listen, one of the most common questions I've been asked is, okay, how do I know it's God's voice speaking and not the devil? I mean, Randy, come on. How do I know it's not the pizza I had last night? It's really God's voice. Well, one of the most common questions I've been asked is that, and one of the most helpful criteria to use would be, well, what is the nature of the voice that is speaking to you? In other words, God is loving, true, and freeing. Satan will create a train of thought that so fits your way of thinking that you suppose it comes to your own line of reasoning, and then these thoughts will come. Well, how do I know those thoughts are God's and not the devil and not the world? Well, line it up to the nature of God. One of the most helpful criteria to use would be that of their nature. God is loving, God is truthful, and God is freeing. Satan, on the other hand, is a liar, a murderer, and condemning. When you begin to transform your mind, there'll be a battle for your thought life. And suddenly, these thoughts will come. And when you get to hear a certain voice, check if the nature of the message, no matter how soft-spoken it is, or how soft-spoken the voice may be, is reflective of God's nature. Is it loving? Is it freeing? Is it kind? Second of all, you need to check if the voice lines up with the Word of God. God will never speak to you and contradict His Word. If God's Word is contradicted, then it's not God. Don't believe it. And one of the clearest ways to discover God's will for your life is the pages of the Bible. So when these thoughts come, if they're condemning, you're never going to make it. You're never going to get healed. You're never going to get the promotion. Chances are, 99.9% of the time, that is not God. If it's condemning you, if there's fearful, no, that lines up with the nature of the enemy. But if you hear, "I am with you, I'm going to walk with you and talk with you. Yeah, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you." If you feel at peace, then you know that that's God's voice leading and guiding you. Knowing what the Bible says and saturating yourself in it will help you discover the will of God for your life. And again, one of the clearest ways to discover God's will for your life is to actually read your Bible. Read it. Live it. Eat it. Let it be a part of your life. Neglect of it will cause you to not know the will of God for your life. And so many times, you know, the devil will create a train of thought and it sounds so wonderful. I guess maybe that's just me. No, it's not. You have to know God's will. And you have to know God's way, and you have to know God's voice. Listen, I've been married to my beautiful wife for soon to be 31 years. November the 4th will be our 31st year anniversary. And if you were to come to me and say, "Hey, I was talking to your wife, and she told me this and this and this," I'm going to listen to you, and then I'm going to literally line up what you are saying with what I know my wife is like and what she says. And if it doesn't line up with her nature, and if it doesn't line up with what I know, well, then I'm going to tell you, "I'm sorry you didn't hear my wife's voice." And I'm going to discount everything you say. Remember, God's Spirit will never go across His Word. So don't just wait for impressions. Study the Bible, and the Holy Spirit will lead you through His Word to understand it in proper context. Now, you can know God's will and God's way, but the criteria is simple. And Paul told us, first, you must present yourself to Him a living sacrifice. Second, you must not be conformed to the world. And third, you must transform your mind by the renewing of God's word on a daily basis. Spend time with Jesus, and he'll reveal his will to you. Let's pray, and let's ask God to lead us and guide us all day long. Father, I thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that as we look for you, and as we search your word, and as we spend time with you, God, you're going to show us the perfect will of God for our life. Lord, as we surrender our life to you and we live our life to honor God's word on a daily basis, that Monday through Saturday, how we live our life matters. How we live our life Monday through Saturday matters. And so, Lord, I pray that as we live for you, you'll show us exactly what you have for us. And we can be confident that you'll never leave us or forsake us, even in these turbulent times, even in these crazy times. Lord, we know that you're in control. It's in the wonderful name of your son, Jesus, we pray these things, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Going God's way. God bless.
Amen. Amen. What an uplifting word. What an encouraging word for us tonight, man. Just of reminding us of what we need to do to connect with God, to receive from him, to follow his word. Amen. Just a word to bless us this evening. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you joined us for it. Hey, it was a good night altogether. I want to give a shout out to Jorge and his whole team. There are a bunch of volunteers that helped us out tonight to help make tonight happen, to put that whole dinner out. It was fantastic. And I hope you enjoyed that if you were a part of it. We'll have some more things like that as well as the weather gets warmer and things change around as well. But we appreciate them so much that they help make tonight possible. Melissa in our office, who does such a great job on the tech side of things. We appreciate her and Hector and so much as well. And the others who jump in, Abner, just a lot of folks that helped us, Tish and Deborah, many Mercedes who all helped us this evening. So it was a great night. Let me pray. Let me pray and ask God to help us to apply this in our lives as we walk with him now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, Lord God. We thank you that you are with us always. And we thank you for this encouraging, equipping word that we received this evening. We do pray, Lord God, that you would bless us now as we apply it in our lives, be glorified in our lives. We love you and honor you in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Keep living victoriously in Christ Jesus. Amen.